Welcome to the Heart Failure Collaboratory Heart of the Matter podcast. I'm here today with my distinguished colleagues to talk about social drivers of health in heart failure clinical trials. And this was an initiative of the Heart Failure Collaboratory that resulted in a publication in JACC Heart Failure this year. And the people and colleagues that have been interested in this and co-authors on this paper are on the podcast today. And let's go around the table and do introductions. Joanne?
Thanks, Chris. It's Joanne Lindenfeld, and I'm a professor of medicine and heart failure transplant cardiologist at Vanderbilt University.
Melvin.
Hi, Melvin Eccles. I am an associate professor of medicine at Morehouse School of Medicine. I'm also the associate director for the Cardiovascular Research Institute and a general cardiovascular heart failure cardiologist and the chief health equity officer for the American College of Cardiology.
Thank you, Melvin. Wayne Batchelor, Dr. Batchelor.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Wayne Batchelor, I'm the president of the medicine service line at the Inova Health System and an interventional cardiologist interested in clinical trials and an adjunct professor of medicine at Duke University.
And recently, a distinguished chair at the Inova Health System.
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Walsh?
I'm Minna Walsh. I'm an advanced heart failure transplant cardiologist at Ascension St. Vincent in Indianapolis, and I'm also the medical director of the Cardiovascular Research Institute there.
Thank you, Dr. Walsh. Just this past 2 weeks, we lost two very special, important people in our community. Mike Bristow was a mentor, a colleague, a friend, a leader for over 50 years in our community of heart failure and cardiovascular medicine, a leader in pharmacology, was one of the leaders to bring beta blockers as a therapy into our arsenal of treatments for heart failure patients, a leader in the concept of pharmacogenomics in cardiovascular medicine, and particularly in heart failure. But so importantly, in the last 5 years, 10 years, he's been very active in the Heart Failure Collaboratory, and he's been co-leading the research culture working group with myself and was enthusiastic about the challenges around site-based research, training the next generation of people who serve on data safety monitoring boards, and also making sure that clinical trials really represent the patient population that we're trying to target for these therapies. So I wanted to mention that, and Melvin's going to mention Kelly McCants, who also passed, and then we'll just have a brief moment of silence.
Absolutely, and certainly I've learned so much from Dr. Bristow every single time I've interacted with him at HFC. So again, condolences to him and his family. I want to also mention Dr. Kelly McCants, who has also been a staunch health advocacy researcher, clinician, advanced heart failure cardiologist, who we just recently lost last week as well, and at an early age, at 50. And so it speaks to, you know, the fact that, you know, unfortunately, you know, African-American cardiologists in this space are not immune to early mortality as well. And so we have to be aware of that. And so we have to do everything that we can to mitigate these issues. And so again, our hearts go out to his family and condolences, and we've lost a great person.
Well, let's take a moment of silence for both of these then. Well, thank you. I think this is such an important topic we're talking about today, and that's the social determinants, social drivers, perhaps a more precise term of health and how we are doing in clinical trials and first of all, in capturing this information, but also addressing these important covariates that may be playing as an important role in the clinical outcomes that we see as the intervention itself. When we looked at this in a paper that was led by Dr. DeFilippi, and all the colleagues here were co-authors on that paper, we really found, looking at 44 studies, heart failure studies over the past several decades, that we were not capturing the information very well. We captured sex and race very well, 99% or higher. Ethnicity, 50%, maybe better recently than early on. But when we looked at social drivers of health, things like education, poverty, disability, food insecurity, the local environment, things that affect aging, we were really down near zero. And the government trials were a little bit better, about 10% or so. But I think it really begs the question that we have to increase awareness like we're doing today, but also how could this actually influence outcomes? And I'll start with Dr. Batchelor here to comment on, you know, how do you think we can do better at addressing social drivers of health in our clinical trials? And what impact do these variables have?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And by the way, congratulations to the authors of this paper. This was a very thoughtful paper that was addressing something that is a clear blind spot in both clinical research and in clinical medicine in general. If you think about it, you know, studies have shown that upwards of 50 to 80% of our health outcomes are related to social drivers of health. And the fact that we don't really, in a systematic fashion, collect this within clinical trials that lead to new devices and new drugs and understanding how these entities, both devices and drugs, intersect with an individual, the fact that we're not collecting this is a huge blind spot. So first of all, congratulations to the authors and the Heart Failure Collaboratory for collecting this information and doing a deeper dive. The study was fascinating. I read it and I was floored, honestly. I was floored by how poorly we do, number one, and also the minimal domains that we collect when we do collect any information on social drivers of health. There's just huge missing pieces of information, language, food insecurity, discrimination, environmental exposures, et cetera. So I think number one, health is directly related to social drivers that affect an individual, their environment and their community. And number two, if we're going to understand the predictors of outcome within a clinical trial or just within basic clinical care, we have to figure out how to do this better. The last piece is, how do we do it in a way that's not overly burdensome, where we collect just the right amount of information in a systematic fashion? And I'm sure that people on the panel will have some thoughts on that. But as we add on to our case report forms, we're going opposite to the direction of many, which is trying to create more lean case report forms. So this is really important. We have to do it better, but we have to be thoughtful about how burdensome it is to, you know, collecting data in clinical trials.
Thank you, Wayne. And lots of good points there, and particularly about, you know, the burden, you know, that we've got to be thoughtful about this. And the paper tried to address that, as you know, and try to condense it to 9 domains. But Dr. Walsh, what are your thoughts? You've been a highly successful site-based investigator. You've been at the national level of president of the American College of Cardiology and have looked at policy of science and clinical care. What are your thoughts here?
Thanks, Chris. And thanks for those beautiful remembrances of our colleagues too. Yeah, I think there's a few things that I would want to kind of call out when we're having this discussion. I think the paper is very important. I think it's going to encourage other investigators in other fields to look at their case report, do a similar deep dive and find out exactly how trials are being done in these other areas of cardiovascular medicine and outside of cardiovascular medicine. I do think that one of the burdens we didn't discuss in the paper, and I think is really important, is the patient's response to this type of information. And then there is literature on this, and some people on the call have written some of it. So when we all know the burden of trial enrollment and the sometimes less enthusiastic response of patients, our invitation to enroll in trials. And I think one of the things when we think about these specific domains of SDOH, asking people these very probing questions about their lives and their incomes and their geography and all the issues that we really do want to capture in the trial can feel very intrusive. And so although we clearly have not collected the data and don't know how such differences in social determinants of health influence trial results, we also don't know a lot about how patients will respond, participants in trials will respond to being asked about this. So that's one comment. And the other comment I must make is I do think that we, in what we found in the paper, we did find race and ethnicity, or sorry, race and sex reported, but this is not true out in many trials, many trial publications. So I think what we found in this particular look was good. But if we look at the published literature, even up to today, even sex and race aren't always, at least they're not reported. They may be collected, but they're not reported.
Really nice points about the patient perspective on the burden and the intrusiveness. So we want to come back to that. Dr. Lindenfeld, obviously you've been involved in device trials, drug trials. How do you think we've perhaps missed signals because we haven't captured this, or, you know, we see this clear variation in outcomes when you look at simple things like geography across global trials. And we know that in these different geographies, there has to be differences in economic levels and patient exposure to poverty and things like that. But that's really crude. This is really getting much more granular. Is this the right approach?
Well, I think it's certainly one right approach to try to get at these things. And, you know, as and Wayne said, these are really important drivers of health, so we have to know more about them. I think one of the things about all of these social determinants of health that we have to learn is, which are the really important ones? Are they all important in some way? Or does poverty, for example, explain away a number of other things? So ultimately, would we have to collect them all? Or are there some that, you know, rural versus urban, is that primarily a poverty? Or, you know, it is quite possible that two or three of these social drivers of health may explain a huge amount, or depending on what we're studying, we only might need, but that's what we need to get at in these trials, is which are the important ones for what kinds of things. So I think we just have a lot of basic things to learn there, because I'm not aware, others may be who are in this area more than I, but I'm not sure how much we know that. My guess is many of these are very collinear. We haven't quite figured that out yet. So that we may not end up having to collect them all once we get a big database and figure out which are the really important ones in which area.
No, I think that would be a nice way to sort of address what Wayne was saying, is that can we reduce the burden? Can we reduce the intrusiveness by being more informative about what we're collecting? Melvin, this is front and center to what you think about, you know, with everything you do, with your role at the college, with your role at the university. Tell me your thoughts here on how we go forward. Obviously, we got to increase awareness and increase collecting data, there's much more to it than that.
Absolutely. So I was also a co-author, and I think that, you know, phenomenal work by your primary author and the HFC. You know, where I find this to be challenging is many of the social issues that we are thinking about sometimes are not always homogeneous across groups. And in terms of the distribution of prevalence for things like housing instability and education and income, all of those things can vary based on health center, community, you know, populations that you are eliciting to sort of recruit in a clinical trial. So I think that, you know, really when you think about this, the problem is, as everyone has well described, clinical trials cost money and they take time. And so the amount of time you spend really needs to be impactful. And so that draws down, you know, from Wayne's point all the way down to Joanne's point in terms of what really matters in terms of what can be standardized across trials. And this is not just, you know, North American or U.S. trials. This is global. So what social determinants of health, can we sort of standardize across the spectrum? And I think that, you know, thinking about the WHO original definition of social determinants of health, which we, you know, oftentimes quote. I think that is one of the ways that we can kind of start thinking about how can we sort of collectively label these domains that matter. And to that point, and bring in misdomains, like Wayne said, such as disability, which we brought up in this paper, particularly people who have sensory impairments, people who are suffering from deaf and blind challenges with heart failure. So I think that we really need to think about those patients as well as we try to recruit people into clinical trials.
Very important. I think something we've really not paid a lot of attention to historically, Melvin, so thanks for bringing that up. Wayne, you've led a really nice investigation that's under review, summarized the importance of site selection. And your focus was on sort of race, sex, ethnicity, but it certainly could be extended to all these different variables, you know, whether rural, poverty level, other aspects of food insecurity. Tell us about the importance of site selection as you see it, and maybe summarize a little bit about your paper that's been presented as an abstract already.
Yeah, Chris, we were interested in understanding predictors of site enrollment. That is, what are the site characteristics that determine levels of enrollment of women in clinical trials and racial and ethnic minorities in clinical trials? And so we took a large database of 9 coronary stent trials performed over the last 15 years and had industry sponsors submit all of their clinical trial demographic information to the FDA, where we analyzed this data. Long story short, when we developed a predictive model for enrolling minorities into clinical trials, the site characteristics that came out that predicted minority enrollment included, to Joanne's point, poverty. Poverty was a negative predictor. So if the site was located in a zip code that had higher rates of poverty, fewer minorities proportionately were enrolled. Population density was also a positive predictor for enrollment. And so as you can imagine, we probably have a higher density of minorities across the country. It's been shown both Blacks and Hispanic patients, study subjects in more urban areas. And that was a predictor. We also found that geography mattered a lot. In fact, probably the strongest predictor was whether you could draw from a patient population around you that was more diverse. So sites in the South correlated with Black enrollment, and in the West and Southeast also with Hispanic ethnicity enrollment. For women, it was much more difficult to predict enrollment of women, and the amount of variation in female enrollment across different sites was less. Where there was a tenfold difference in minority enrollment, there was only about a 2 to 2.5-fold difference in female enrollment. It was very hard to predict, other than just VA sites being a poor predictor for female enrollment. So I think we have a lot to learn, but I think we're starting to see from this study and from the study that the Heart Failure Collaboratory just published, the Social Drivers of Health in Heart Failure Study, and our study, that we've got to glean more about the patient circumstance to understand not only how to access those patients for clinical trials and how to choose sites based on that, but also what matters most and what determines their outcome, because all these things make a difference. We showed in another trial in platinum diversity that out of the 5 predictors of 1-year major adverse cardiac events, including myocardial infarction, death, and urgent revascularization after a stent, 2 of the 5 were social determinants of health. 1, if you had insurance, you were less likely to have an adverse outcome. 2, if you were a widow or a widower, if you'd lost a loved one. I mean, there's some fascinating physiologic changes that occur related to catecholamines and stress hormones and environmental factors that impact a patient who's lost someone who's very close to them. And there's some other literature out there that shows that cardiac events do go up a little bit after these stress events. So I think we're scratching the surface, Chris. I think this study to me is a little bit of a call to action to do a deeper dive into understanding the dynamics of this. And then, to Joanne's point, figure out the collinear variables versus the independently useful predictors and try to make sense of this in a way that's least burdensome to studies that are doing this in the future.
You know, so, but the challenge is, like, you know, unfortunately, like, trying to make sure that you gain the evidence or collect the data that you need to collect in order to get to the predictors or the variables in the sort of, you know, secondary analysis that'll get you the greatest stuff. So unfortunately, you know, this, the socioeconomic sort of SES sort of black box has been a problem for many, many years. But when you lose effect modifying variables, you know, in trials, because you're not collecting the data, you're not able to understand the predictors of an outcome that matter in this space. And so that's why it's really important to, you know, really think about the social determinants of health or drivers that we are collecting and that we do collect them so that we can get insight on predictors in the future.
I'd like to answer that too. I think, and Wayne, you well know this, and Joanne, you've written about this too, is I do think on the enrollment of women, the one thing we do know is that women, if women are on the committee and on the trial leadership committee, and even the PI, that does matter. We do seem across the cardiovascular spectrum to see higher enrollment of women participants. There is a fascinating trial that's going on now. It is a heart failure trial. It's the REBIRTH trial of women with peripartum cardiomyopathy. What's fascinating, most fascinating about it is the fact that we haven't been able to enroll patients. It's been very difficult to enroll. These are individuals who are often, and I'm a site investigator. I'm not in the trial leadership, but a site investigator. And it has been extremely hard to capture patients who at an extremely vulnerable period of time in their lives, having just given birth and had a fairly catastrophic diagnosis. And so I think I actually have talked to the trial leadership and said, I think some of the lessons that we're learning from this trial need to be described better in the literature, because I think they would be and help inform other trials going forward.
And just one thing to add to that, just as that as we determine these, the things, the social determinants of health that are really the most important ones, it seems likely that these have an effect way before the disease appears. In a way, unlike some other covariates, these are things that probably affect health at a very early age, poverty for one. So when we think about them and what are they, we're going to have to think about how to address those at a much, many of them, I think, at a much earlier stage. It can't just be at the time that we see the disease. We'll have to think about that a lot, I think.
Absolutely. There are childhood social determinants of health that impact you and follow you your entire lifetime and that are associated with cardiovascular risk, you know, from childhood. So absolutely, it starts way before recruitment into a clinical trial.
But we won't know if these determinants of health interact with the intervention unless we collect these variables. So we've got to do step one. And I think this is what this paper really, as Wayne nicely outlines, says it's a call to action. And Wayne, as someone who's in the interventional space, in the VAL space, I'd love to see the VAL collaboratory do a similar analysis to see if this is validated in clinical trials that are not heart failure trials. And to compare and contrast the two would be fascinating. We might be able to learn even more about these social drivers of health.
And Chris, I think that the two things that are kind of really important about the paper is the fact that collection of this data improved as time went on. So that's important. And yeah. Also, if the federal funders can do it at a higher rate, then so can industry. I mean, it's not an impossibility. It has to become a priority.
And that priority starts with trial leadership, right? As you said nicely, the PIs have got to be aware of this and push the sponsors to say, we need this in the case report form.
And I think the Lean CRF, the way it was sort of brought to the public was in a way that allows people to try to figure out efficient ways to collect this data without sort of increasing the cost. And so the social drivers that are mentioned in this article, I think most, for the most part, can be derived from EHRs. And so without sort of the excessive manual manipulation or extraction. So I think it is very important to, you know, sort of think about those things in terms of efficiency, in terms of, you know, the actual data that you can collect.
Yeah, it's a great point. Interoperability is going to be really important as we sort of peel this onion further, because that's one way in which we can potentially decrease the site burden and still get the key drivers that are so important for outcome.
Well, this has been a terrific conversation. It's not one that stops today. We have to continue this conversation, but I want to thank my colleagues here today for really engaging a thoughtful conversation about how we can improve clinical trial conduct by awareness, by integrating this information into the case report forms, and then understanding in the analytical platform how this may influence outcomes. So thank you for being here today. The Heart Failure Collaboratory, Heart of the Matter on Social Determinants of Health in Heart Failure Clinical Trials. This conversation will continue. So thank you very much.